கத்ரினா
नमस्कार एंड वेलकम हाउ रियोना तुमका स्वागत करता आज सुसेगा देंपार प्रोग्रामर मुझे संगता आसा दोन सोबीत गेस्ट आफ्रीन वाज एंड आवर एंकर शिनेल फर्नांडिस आणि आमचे हैंडसम गुड गाय रिचर्ड वेलकम आफ्रीन रिचर्ड एंड शिनेल टू आवर प्रोग्राम टुडे
थैंक यू रियोना
Afreen, it is a pleasure to have you here today.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine.
It is really nice that you have made the time to come and talk to us today. And you are such a dynamic person, but I'm not going to introduce you because no amount of introduction is going to be enough. So I'm going to leave it to you. Tell us something about your background.
Well, first of all, I'm on holiday at the moment, so you're not taking my time. This is totally, like, fascinating and I just love it. About me, well... I was born in India, in Mumbai. My family is, dad's Goan, mom's East Indian. I moved here to New Zealand when I was around 12, and I was absolutely lost, to be honest. Entered high school with hairy legs and all of that because I actually studied in a Muslim school. Not that I'm Muslim, but it was quite a culture shock. Everything was. And soon enough, I fell in love with New Zealand, and I went to Otago University, graduated from there. Didn't get into medicine like I planned to, so I pursued it in India instead. And that was another journey in itself because come second year, third year, I got scouted for Femina Miss India, which is really huge in India. And because I was studying from Mangalore, it was even bigger when I won because the last person was Aishwarya Rai. So it was like amazing. So in short, I'm basically a nerd who just happened to stumble into the glamour industry. And now I'm back. And as of last week, I became a doctor. So that's it. That's me in a nutshell.
Congratulations.
Thank
that's
you.
That's really good. I mean, it's amazing that you had such a vast diverse career choice and you still pursued your medicine. So what age did you think of becoming a doctor?
It was definitely at the age of 11.
Really? That early? What made you do that? I mean...
Well, that was the age I migrated, and it was very soon after we lost our grandmother, my brother and I, to misdiagnosis and medical negligence. Of course, I was too young to understand it, but I did understand parts of it. I did pursue that, you know, situation a little later, and I think it just grew into that. Plus, I've always loved science and bio, especially.
That's awesome.
When you first came to New Zealand, it would have been, as you said, a culture shock. Was it the same when you went back to India to study?
Oh, it was worse. because of course, like if you probably figured it out and our listeners have as well, I have a very international accent. You really can't place where I'm from when I speak. And I love it. However, in India, it made me stand out more than it did in New Zealand because we are multicultural. It's not that way in India. So even if I said esophagus, they would tell me, no, it's esophagus. And honestly, to me, it's like as long as you understand what I'm saying, I don't think it should be a problem. But they also mentioned that you wear formal clothes on the first day of university. To me, that's like maybe an A-line skirt and a blouse or trousers. What they mean is a salwar kameez. So they made me stand with the boys. They thought it was humiliating. I found it very amusing. I wore trousers and a very nice blouse, which went unappreciated.
What did you feel at that time?
Extremely lost and very amused. I was much too old to feel humiliated, which I think was what they wanted, but that didn't happen.
It's so good that you took it in the right spirit, because you felt humiliated, it might have set you back a bit.
Yeah, probably would have. Because I was going through homesickness anyway, so...
And what about the language? How did you cope with that? Because it must have been different going to Mangalore. They have a different dialect and a different language. Did you ever think that you'd be chucked into a situation where you had to speak a different language? And were you lost?
I was very lost, but I did go knowing that I would be lost, if that makes any sense. Because I knew that the local language is Kannada and Tulu. And I can speak Hindi and Marathi. I can now speak broken Kannada enough to sort of talk to a patient, but then at that time it was just, I don't know what people were saying, and they don't really make an effort to, you know, include you in a conversation. So the Malayalis will group together and speak that Malayalam, and the Kannada guys will group together and speak that Kannada. So you really have to, you know, make do with whatever you've got, sort of thing. Yeah.
Did you have anybody like in your situation there as well, who's not necessarily from New Zealand, but from abroad and come back?
No, there were other NRIs from Dubai and things, but not so...
not too west.
Yeah, not so west.
No, fair enough.
Oh my goodness. It's awesome that you were able to cope with that initial brunt of, you know, being in such a diverse, strange...
Yeah, and a part of me just loved it.
Environment, yeah.
I maintain a personal journal, and that journal was like interesting to write. I had to like buy a new one because I had so much to write. It was really cool.
Was there anything in particular that you felt was really different or something that really stood out to you that you were like, wow, I can't quite comprehend this?
Dude, everything stood out.
But no, nothing extra, really.
No, I mean, what did stand out was the fact that, you know, it's organized chaos. So you come into India thinking, oh my God, no one knows what they're doing. But honestly, they know what they're doing. And they're just happy being disorganized in organized fashion. Once you understand that, I think it just...
The healthy mess, they call it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So where do you sort of position yourself today? You come from, or rather you grew up in a country which is pretty organized, arranged, everything is in its place. And then you live and follow a profession in a pretty, what do you call it, as organized chaos. Where do you position yourself?
For a very long time, I had no idea where to position myself, so I just let myself go with the flow. So if I was in India, I became an Indian. When I came back to New Zealand, I became as much a Kiwi as I'm comfortable being. And I think that led me to a position where I'm quite happy being identified as either, and preferably both. I would never be one of those Indians who come here and just, you know, are like, oh, I know what you mean. Indians are really frustrating. Like, I don't even know why they do this. At the same time, I would never be in India one of those, you know, foreigners who would be like, oh my God, I can't even believe it's so dirty. Or what do you mean? That's not how you say it. It's not, you know, it's not comfortable. It's comfortable. I'd never do that.
Yeah. So when in Rome?
Yeah, pretty much.
Doing Rome like the Romans do, eh? Yeah.
So you've been in Mangalore now for almost about, what, 6 years, 7 years?
No, five. This is my fifth year, yeah.
The fifth year. Kachpu in China.
Is that Tulu?
Okay. Pidebolle, pidebolle.
That is definitely Tulu.
So where do they say that? You must be hearing that.
Yeah, I do. Unfortunately, Tulu is not the stronger language. It's actually Kannada.
Okay.
But yeah.
So you're based in Manipal, if I may say
no,
so.
No, no. I'm based in Mangalore proper.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're with the which university or which?
Rajiv Gandhi University of Health Sciences.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have, you were born in India.
That's right, yeah.
Raised in New Zealand.
Pretty much.
Went back to India.
Yes.
And there are a lot of kids here who come from India and then they've got to imbibe everything that New Zealand has to offer. What is your advice to them? What would you advise? Because you've been there, done that.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for these kids? Like, they must be confused, like,
Yeah.
The way we were just talking earlier on how it can be so confusing. Mm-hmm. What is your advice to them?
Well, I think it depends a lot on what age group you talk about when you say kids. The very young ones, I think that's a great age to come, because honestly, you just imbibe everything like a sponge. Might be a bit of a problem for the people at home because, we're still Indians. But,
and we still hold on to our culture really strongly.
So it's really difficult for the kids as well, because they're like, well, why can't I do that? That seems normal.
My friends do it,
Yeah. But so that's the thing. But someone around the age of 11, 12 is what I'm going to probably talk about, because that's something that I can relate to. For those people, at the beginning, it's going to be very tough, because you're going to be like, how do I make friends with these people who are so confident and just wear what they want? And just, at the same time, how do I also stay focused with my parents and what I've learned? Because I kind of don't want to let that go. Yeah. So what you really need to do is take it slow and try not to prove to anybody what they want to know. I mean, what I'm trying to say is don't
be yourself.
Just don't get anyone to, want to love you.
Don't be a wannabe.
No, it's honestly the least attractive thing ever. I've been there, I've done that. It did not help.
Okay. Yeah, it's quite interesting, because a lot of people want to copy, ape the West, like they say.
Yeah.
Cool.
But it's easy, I think. Once you're here, it's easy to sort of do both. It's not,
but you just as soon as it comes naturally, though. I mean, you don't want to be one of those people that's like putting on an accent or wearing something that you're like constantly fidgeting with because you're not comfortable. You really want to just let it come to you when it comes to you.
Yeah, I'd say, because similar to you, when I came as well, it was, at the start, I don't know whether I was being mocked for my accent or what. But it soon became a thing that you just fall into place, I think. You just naturally switch from being a Kiwi to being an Indian. So I guess that's what you're saying as well.
Yeah,
want to take a break and listen to a song?
I think because I talk really fast, and I think people really want a break from what I'm saying.
I don't think you talk fast.
Okay,
but we take a break and we listen to a song.
Sota. makanaseko.
You're listening to Sushega Dhanpa today with Afreen Waz, our esteemed guest, who is beauty and brains all in one package. Afreen, before the break, we were talking about you as an NRI in New Zealand and how the difficulties you face going back and forth between India and New Zealand. Now let's move on to another aspect of your life, which is just as important, I think, your modeling career. I think you've really first made waves in New Zealand when you took part in New Zealand's Next Top Model. I think it was Cycle 2.
I
remember watching it, and it was so great to see. Because were you the only Indian?
I think the only so far.
And it was a big deal for all of us, you know, watching you on screen, because no one's done that, at least from our community. What was that like?
Well, it was definitely an interesting experience, because I was in a... you need to understand that I've only been in a co-ed school. I've got a brother. I've got too many brothers. And for a long time, I really thought I was a boy as well. That, you know, when I was living in the army with my dad.
Interesting.
So for me to be in a house with a bunch of girls, and not just girls, tall, beautiful girls, outgoing, well-traveled, it was like, I don't know what I was going through. I was going through a bunch of emotions, like inadequacy and like, I need to compete. And then, of course, they were like lovely girls. So you also become friends. And then now I'm in a competition. So it was like, you know, a whole lot of emotions. Yeah.
What got you to actually get into this? What made you go into this? What catapulted you into this?
It's something that I've always got. It's like, you know, if I identify an opportunity and I know it's not going to come back, I'm most likely to go for it. Because whatever I'm doing in the meantime, I'm going to do it all my life anyway. And I really don't like regrets. So when New Zealand's Next Top Model was auditioning in Dunedin, I just, you know, literally bunked one of my lectures and just went for it. And I went with my best friend. And it was like, I went in. I didn't know what I was doing. Went in with a very, very weird dress and stockings. Took my shoes out, because I have a habit of doing that when I enter like a room.
Yeah.
And when I entered, and they were like, oh my God, you know, you're gorgeous, you're tall, tall neck. I felt really good. But you're not wearing shoes. Like, why are you doing that? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I've got a bunch of heels outside. Well, put them on and bring them inside. Okay. And then I put my heels on, and I literally walked like a duck. And they were like, so you don't know how to walk in heels? I was like, no. And they're like, but you want to be a model? I was like, yes. And they're like, well, we love that, because obviously people like people that are raw and really displaced. It makes for good TV, it makes for good entertainment.
Yeah.
It's true in real life as well. If you're going to be yourself, you're going to make for like a good person.
That's true. It's great advice as well. Hey, did you feel, what was the kind of reaction that you sort of got from people when they realized that you were on TV? From your family, friends, the community, college, everything?
I think, you know, because of course I'm like really outgoing and I love talking to people, but I have a very close circle. So it's very easy to also sort of walk past me thinking that I'm unapproachable. That's something my brothers told me. However, when I did something like that, I was on TV and, you know, like your personality is there for everyone to see, especially for me because I like being myself. People actually really enjoyed watching me, hearing me and things like that. I gained a lot of like, a little bit of fan following and things like that. People recognizing me here and there went on for a bit as well. And most of the feedback, 90% of it, was really good. The 10% that wasn't good wasn't my fault. It was just people that would rather see me the way they thought I was, which is like very conservative and things. What they don't realize is that's really not me. And conservative is not how someone dresses or how someone thinks. Conservative is, I could be like in a bikini and I could still be a conservative girl because I'm wearing a bikini because that's what it needs. I would never enter a temple like that, right? So, yeah.
Context is everything.
Context is everything.
Yeah. Because it's when I saw you up there and it was, you know, like I said, it was a thing, a topic of discussion for everybody. And I always thought you were somebody who really broke the mold because you did something so different.
Thank you.
Still doing it because you're a doctor,
yeah,
and you're a model, and
she's done a movie,
and it's something that no one really does because we sort of do the mundane school, work, 9 to 5, you know, get
if
married.
If you're a doctor, you're a doctor all the time,
exactly.
And if you're a model, you're a supermodel all the time.
That's
actor, you're an actor all the time. So yeah,
and I feel like that's something that, you know, we really get classified, that really drills into us, especially in a community as close-knit as our Indian community abroad is. So did you find that people were in any way opposed to that, or did you have any sort of backlash to doing what you did, or was that good?
Of course. I mean, always, whenever you try to break the norm, you are going to get backlash. There's nothing you can do about it. The worst experiences I had was after I became Miss India. Of course, I understand you're talking about New Zealand's Next Top Model, but I'm just trying to like put you sort of...
Yeah, sure.
When I became a Miss India, now this is Miss India, okay? And I go back to South India, and Mangalore, I had the best homecoming. I felt like a queen, actually. When you win something big, the time you actually feel good about it is when you see like your close friends and things being happy about it. So when I came back, there's something called the Bajrang Dal. It's like moral policing. They've got it all over.
Yeah.
Actually sent out a threat to me saying that if I was to step into Mangalore, my health and safety is going to be a problem. You know, that was an actual real full-on threat. There was police there. Luckily for me, my college is so supportive that they literally use their political sort of influence, because everyone's got that, and put an end to it. But I'm just saying that, you know, that should never happen, because it's not like I competed in Miss India doing something that was, I mean, I did everything within protocol, but do you see what I mean? When you threaten someone's norm, they don't like it. The reason they don't like it is because they don't want to change.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, change is the only constant in life. If you're not going to change, you're not going to live. And if you're going to like be so, you know, adamant, and your kids are going to be like, just going to go away from you, because for them, they will have to change. And the only way they can keep you happy is kind of like staying away from.
So what was the reaction at home when you sort of stepped on stage in New Zealand? So what was mum and dad saying? What was mum's aunts and relatives? And, you know, they all sort of start, you know, kaaling karta yen chedu.
That is...
Shikongelangi, stager.
Yeah, what did you go to India for? I thought you went to study. Now, actually, luckily for me, my parents are like very cool, very chilled out. My dad is a little bit more conservative, 100%. But, you know, he's an open-minded person. So in the beginning, he will be like, oh, I don't know if what we're doing is right. But then he'll be the one who's like, what, you're getting a movie? Oh, go back to medicine next year. Just do that movie. Because he really wants you to live life to the fullest as well. I think when your core circle and your core family allows you to be who you are, then you can really deal with the people outside quite easily. Because, you know, what you believe in is being like reinforced really strongly by the people you see every day. So really, it's fine.
So what's the movie that you've done?
It's called We Didn't Kill Mia.
Is it English or?
It is English, but it's all Indian actors from like different places. So one's a Canadian Indian, one's American Indian, one's Kiwi Indian, that's me, and one's just totally Indian Indian.
So who's produced it and directed it?
It's been produced by a company called Dream Cuts, which is a very sort of dynamic production house. They only go for very dynamic scripts. The last one they did was Madhulal Keep Walking, which won a lot of critical acclaim in film festivals. So I'm really excited about this one. And this one's English. Madhulal was still sort of Hindi.
So has it been released or yet to be released?
No, the trailer's out. It's got a lot of positive feedback, especially from the youth, because we're not hiding back anything. We are using profane language. It's very realistic. Everything that goes on with alcohol and drugs, which is what we're trying to like, that's the moral message, to like stay away from that. It's just being shown in real light, and it's yeah. It's,
so can you organize a private screening for the crowd in, we're a small community.
Yeah, of course.
So when is that going to be?
I think maybe when I'll come back mid-year, I'll get the DVD with me. And then
don't forget.
I am going to take you up on that offer.
Don't forget. We'll organize a theater and all that. And
yeah, it will be fun.
That would be so good.
I think that would be great. And I'd love like for a lot of Indians especially to come.
I'm sure you'll have a big fan following. Yeah. Especially so, now that you're on Susegat Dempar, I'm sure all the Goan and the Mangalorean community is going to be very excited about it.
Great. As long as they feed me Sopatel, I'm all good.
Okay, that's fine.
Oh, you still eat that.
Oh, she loves her Indian food.
I love it.
Okay.
I just said I loves it.
Loves it. Loves it. Okay, tell me something. Why did you compete in Miss India in between your studies?
Well, like I said, I'm just going to be like very blatantly honest. Medicine is my second degree, so everyone else in my class is literally 3 years younger than me because I entered as a graduate and they entered straight from year 12 or 12th standard college, whatever. So Miss India does have an age limit to it, and I didn't want to run that out. Also, it was like semi-scouted. I got semi-scouted, so it's very difficult in a sea of beautiful, talented people, especially in India, to get noticed. So when you do get noticed, you want to cash in on that. Now, if I'm going to like lose 6 months and go 6 months behind, honestly, in the long run of the, I mean, in long scheme, that doesn't matter at all. So that's
because you were already a graduate from New Zealand.
And, I was already a graduate. I knew for sure I'm going to come back to medicine because I knew for sure I'm going to get those wrinkles one day and medicine's going to be there for me. So I think I just knew what I was doing sort of thing.
So then how did you balance, your studies and your Miss India? What happened? How did you get into Miss India? Like, you told us how you got into the NZ top, next top model.
So movies is actually a hobby of mine. I think even my family didn't know it until they sort of saw it. But I was making a short film for the University of Arizona on Quit Smoking For Me, and that film did quite well. Went to JIPMA, which is like an amazing medical college in Pondicherry. They had, they were like, okay, we're going to like announce a top film, but people need to come represent it, sort of thing. So I went with my teacher, and there was Campus Princess being organized. And I was like, Campus Princess sounds really lame. But then I saw the Miss India organization logo, and I was like, oh, they're a subset of the Miss India organization, which has always been in the back of my mind, because I've always wanted to be honest, I've always wanted to have a title. Yeah. I'm not good at sports, so beauty is fine. And I went and I told them, see, I really want to like participate. And they were like, all you need is a black dress and heels. I was like, this sounds just like New Zealand's Next Top Model. You know, great. Anyway, so I did that. Luckily for me, they had a question answer session because a pageant is different to modeling. You need to be able to speak. And they were floored by that. I was quite floored by myself. I was like really happy with what I said. And I got in and I won for that region. And there were girls from other regions. And then in 1 week, I made it to Miss India Finals. And then I won that. I didn't win it. I came second. You can't come first if you have a New Zealand passport. Yeah.
Did you find that hard? Because you had a New Zealand passport. You had everything that it took to be first.
Well, I had a New Zealand passport. And if you have a New Zealand passport, you can't represent India at Miss World. It's a prerequisite. You have the passport of the country you're representing.
So you were fully aware of that?
You were aware of it even before you signed on.
Yeah, that was a good part about Times of India. They made me aware of it. They told me that, because my scores were like really high. And, well, they were the highest even at the finals, but the passport held me back. Man, the New Zealand passport held me back. Now
the first time this happened.
So on that note, let's hear some music.
Okay.
Morgana song boring. saler puro feliz.
You're listening to Susega Denpar, and we are in conversation with Afreen Vaz on the topic Beauty with Brains. So Afreen, you know, how did you, you told us all about your modeling and a bit about how you got into medicine. How did you manage to balance medicine and the modeling career? Because I know modeling and movies take a lot of time.
Right. Yes. No, I think it all comes down to communication. As soon as I knew I was competing for Miss India, I had a meeting with my vice president and I told him, see, this is something I want to do. Also, you kind of have to, you know, it's a human thing. You have to sell it to the person, like how are they going to benefit out of it? So I told him I'll take care of my study. I'll keep in touch with the with, you know, what's going on in the curriculum. And at the same time, I told him it'll be really good for our college as well, because you'd be supporting something extracurricular. So if I did win it, it would be a lot of publicity, and that happened. So on the flip side, I did tell Times of India that I wasn't willing to give up medicine, come what may, and that I wanted to finish it. Of course, I wouldn't do it while the Miss India commitment was going on, but after my period of rain was over, they knew that I'd be going back to finish my study.
And so where does that go from here? Because now you have finished your studies.
I have, yes.
And you've done so much in modeling as well. So what's next for you, would you say?
Well, the thing is, I knew I only had a year and a half to myself to train for Miss Supranational, as well as do whatever I could in the glamour field while I had the contacts, etc. So I told myself I wanted to do the cover of a really good magazine. So I did Grazia. I wanted to do, I wanted to be the feature of GQ, which I was, etc., etc. A movie, preferably film festival, preferably in English, and things like that. So I went through the bucket list pretty quickly. Now that I'm a doctor, I think it's going to be Dr. Vaz, pretty much. And now I'm going to make this modeling thing into a hobby. The thing is, I don't believe in sacrificing something. I don't believe in, she's a doctor, so you know what? The only way you can be the best doctor is if that's all you do. Honestly, no. You're not going to be a good doctor if you don't let, you know, all parts of your personality sort of grow. So I will continue entertainment, but on a very small scale. Maybe I'll start a YouTube channel, or maybe I'll do like a film festival here and there, or maybe, you know, something small. I'll never make it a career, true, but that doesn't mean that people that have been following me so far for that side are going to totally miss out. And I will, definitely. Being a doctor is going to be forefront.
You know, vocation and profession are two different things.
I don't think I agree with that.
So they say if you're in a vocation,
yeah,
then it is not a profession. Okay. If you're in a profession,
yeah,
not in a vocation. So when I'm saying vocation, right, a priest is in a vocation.
Okay.
A doctor is a vocation because
right,
it's not a profession as such.
Oh.
So how do you sort of, as what Chanel was saying and what my good friend Riona has been talking about, you can't step on two boats.
Well, that's what I'm trying. That's the stereotype I'm trying to break, because I feel you can step on two boats. I don't see why a priest can't play football in his free time.
Yeah, surely,
the point where he actually probably represents the state, I don't see why not. I don't see why I can't be a brilliant doctor with a great set of patients coming in while also not going home and creating a flourishing YouTube channel. I really don't see why. And that is something that I think holds a lot of us young Indians are back, because we are so scared that, you know what, if we take a gap year or if we do something, we won't come back. Why? Why are we so scared that we won't come back to what's keeping us grounded? It's because this fear has been instilled that, you know, you can't do two things at the same time. It's just about putting one thing in a 90% category and one thing in a 10% category. It allows you not to let go of the 10%, allows you to remain happy.
So any role models?
Actually, this is going to be so cliche, but my role model is actually, there's two women. One is Angelina Jolie and one is my mom, for two different reasons. Angelina Jolie, because she's out there. I'll never know her personally, so I'm able to see what she does. And mom, because she seems amazing to the world, but then I see the struggles behind closed doors. So these two are my role models, because one sort of, you know, is a beauty icon, got a mastectomy done, is constantly working in a philanthropic manner, just over. And she even in an interview said, I love sales. You know, that carpet in my house, people are like, oh my God, the carpet looks so expensive. I let them think that. But honestly, I got it on a sale. That's just like me. On the same time, I like my mother, who, like, you know, is there for everybody, wants to keep getting a promotion, works hard, pleases everyone. But I've seen her, like, you know, really struggle when she's alone at home, because I see how this confident person is constantly questioning herself, right? So I wanted to draw in from both of those aspects, from Angelina Jolie, who's like sorted her stuff out and now being so much for the world, and my mom, who's not being anything for herself most of the time and being so much for the world. I kind of want to do a bit of both. Yeah.
It sounds, so what you're saying, I mean, it sounds really positive and really uplifting, and it's a great message. And how will you cope with that, though? Because I know, I'm sure you realize that reality, when it comes to doing both of it, can be difficult.
Yeah.
So if you were faced with the challenge where, you know, you're doing your residency and whatever you have to do, at the same time, you know, you've got this opportunity that you said it yourself, you don't believe in sacrifices.
Yeah.
And you believe in taking the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So say you're a doctor and you're working, and then you get this opportunity to do another movie or another modeling gig or something that's really big. You get to meet Angelina Jolie. Would you do it? And, you know, when you're thinking about how the struggles will be to come back to your career as a doctor, I mean, how would you deal with that?
So that's what I'm trying to say. I wouldn't do it. If I was in a residency and I was, you know, on call, etc., I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't.
It could be a movie with Angelina Jolie. I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
That's not the time for it. But what I'm trying to say is that doesn't mean that I'd never do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there could be a time when I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to put my profession on a break. It could be when I'm like 50, 55. Maybe I want to play like a very gracefully aging grandmother at 65. Small role in a movie, maybe I would do it. But what I'm trying to say is I've already identified that being a doctor is going to be my forefront. Now, this is a hobby. What is a hobby? A hobby is something you do in your spare time.
Okay.
If you don't have the spare time for a long time, you just don't do your hobby.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. It's just about prioritizing.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah,
that take on life, because
thank
it's
you.
So
yeah.
important. Everybody
very
needs
important.
To have a hobby. You work like a dog, but there's got to be something that you do for yourself
yeah.
that makes you happy. And I think that is really important.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Definitely. This combination though, that you have, beauty and brains, it's they're staring me in the face, you know. You're a doctor and you're absolutely gorgeous. But a lot of people say that with such a shock, like, you know, she's not just beautiful, she's brainy too, like, it's a big thing. Do you think it's as rare as people make it seem? And what would you, how would you respond to people who say that, you know, it's a very rare thing that you can have both?
It's actually not rare at all. I just happen to be one of those lucky people that got scouted in a sea of talented people. If I wasn't scouted, I wouldn't be here today. People wouldn't be able to listen to what I have to say, right? And they probably wouldn't want to listen to me because, hey, who is she? Why should I listen to her? It's human nature. You kind of need to have achieved something or do something for people to be like wanting to listen to you. And
to
actually,
notice you firstly.
Yeah, and actually that's fair enough, to be honest. Why should you listen to anyone who hasn't done it for themselves? But that doesn't mean that there aren't others out there. And you know, beauty is, like, we've heard this before, but beauty is so, so, like, in the eyes of the beholder. To me, what I think is beauty is just probably not what you think it is. There are many times I don't find myself beautiful, so, yeah.
So is there a beholder?
That I will make you meet the beholder at the premiere.
Ooh, that we'll we look just forward have to, it. To do that. We cannot let this opportunity slip. So along the way, you know, with your NZ Supermodel, Miss India, and then I believe you got thrown into the Supranational thing. What was that for you like?
Oh, Supranational was just brilliant. It was like a girl representing every country, and literally there were horse riders in there, there were artists in there, there were like gymnasts in there. They were super talented. The best part about them, they were so comfortable in their own skin. Like, you know, like they were oozing confidence, not the kind of confidence you're trained to be, the kind of confidence that you're kind of just born with, and it was very refreshing to be among them. So to get a title amongst them was like an achievement in itself, because they were just fabulous women.
You did win something at that contest, didn't you? Asia, Oceanic or something?
I won a title for Asia and Oceania. That's Asia, New Zealand and Australia.
How did that feel?
That felt good, because I know why that happened. Because in the interview, they kind of tried to like... People love doing this with me because I've got like so much of background. They love like trying to find out, are you more patriotic to India or New Zealand? Are you going to support Black Caps? Or, you know, they keep love doing that with me. And they did it with me at the interview. So they were pretty floored with how I answered that. I realized I could be a politician at that point. No, I'm just kidding.
Then you could fight the Bajrang Dal.
Yeah. I hope I don't have to.
So now that you've got your medicine, how do you feel when people call you Dr. Vaz?
Oh, I feel great. Also scared, because quite honestly, I am going to start my internship. So technically, I haven't done anything. I haven't practiced yet. But it's really good to know that, you know, now I can start.
Any specific field that you're going into, or is it GP?
I'm really confused between psychiatry and surgery. That's the honest answer at the moment. So I don't know my specialization, what it's going to be. So might end up as a GP.
That's cool.
So coming back to New Zealand, or will you continue with your vocation,
practice.
I would say.
Yeah. You would say.
I would say. But,
No, that's fair enough.
Are you planning to come back to New Zealand and continue with your vocation here, or continue with your vocation in India?
No, I do want to continue my vocation in New Zealand. It will be a bit of a process, because there is a registration exam which requires me to actually pass either UK, US or Australian exam. So once that process goes through, which might take a year, then hopefully if I'm successful, I'll come and practice in New Zealand. If not, somewhere else.
But what about the profession? Are you sort of, I am saying the profession,
yeah.
The modeling and the acting part of it, how much has it been accepted here in New Zealand? Are you getting any offers or have people approached you from the agencies to model for products or to act in films?
Yeah, well, there is a really, really, well, she's brilliant. Her name is Nahuya Williams. She's the face for Max New Zealand. She did call me, I think, a year ago or so, telling me to, like, just, you know, pop into her agency and start, you know, maybe walking for fashion weeks and doing things. But the thing is, New Zealand is so home to me that I rarely get to visit it. I visit it once in a year, once in a year and a half. So the 1 month or now 2 months that I have, I really want to reconnect with my family, my brother, because I keep missing out on 21st and anniversaries. I don't want to get into the working zone here. Really?
Not right now, not till you've come back fully to practice your medicine.
Pretty much. And it allows me to eat, and I love to eat, so that's great.
That's the important one, eh? Was it difficult? Like, did you have many regimes on, don't eat this, don't eat that, exercise 5 hours a day? How was it?
It was like, I was living with two other girls. I was given a schedule. I had, Jacqueline Fernandez's Pilates instructor, Sameer Purohit, doing my fitness. I had some nutritionist amazing doing this. I had someone flying in from Great Britain to work with my diction, and Sabira Merchant, Miss Sabira Merchant, who's amazing, working with my etiquette and dining. So I was not doing anything, I wasn't cheating. And even if I did try, I'd have to press a, button. The lovely butler would come and be like, Bhaiya, mujhe coconut pani chahiye. And he'd be like, मैडम जी आपका कोकोनट पानी आपने तो ऑलरेडी पी लिया दो दो ग्लास था दिन का वो तो कोटा हो गया तो मैं पानी लाता हूं आपके लिए and that kind of thing. He knows my chart, like, so yeah, I was very disciplined.
So you couldn't really stray at all?
No, I couldn't. No. I could if I wanted to, but you don't feel like it. People are putting so much effort into you. It's all paid for. Like, I don't feel like,
So as we come to the end of our program, what's the, I wouldn't call it the message. So what's the sign-off that you want to the people who are listening, to the youngsters, to old guys like me? And somewhere who is halfway down. Riona, you're halfway down. Neither old nor young.
Oh, come on. Acha, okay, I feel old, but it's all right. Since you say that, I feel young now.
A young lady here.
What's your advice to everybody? Like, if you were to target the young, you were to target the middle age, you target the parents, what would you tell each of them, like, say?
I think I'd really strongly just suggest to be your own best friend, because, everyone that you live with is not going to be there till the end, but you will be. And if you are your own best friend, there's no way you'll stray too far away from happiness, which will then allow you to, like, make the people you care about happy, which Indians especially are really, really bad at, because we are so invested in making our family feel good, earn for them, save for them, this, that. We just have no, we're not our own best friends at all. And then we come to a point where, when we finally meet a friend after years, we're like, oh my God, I have so much to tell you. That's good. But in the meantime, you should be able to tell yourself as well. That's the only suggestion. I think that works for all age groups and our community especially.
So any questions more, Chanel?
Yeah, I just have the one last thing that I'd like to ask you. Do you feel like you have made your mark on the world?
Not yet, to be honest. Still. I think I have so much more to do. I think I've made a mark on myself, and I feel good now to, like, approach the world with my ideas. But once I do approach the world, I feel like making a massive mark on the unfortunate with health, which is why I'm so passionate about medicine. I really want to be one day able to do that. I'm not sure in what context, how I'm going to plan that model, but it's going to be a philanthropic model, not a business model. So first, I really need to get rich for myself. But I think, I've got a lot more I want to do.
That's good.
Thank you, Afreen. I think we wish you luck with, your modeling, your acting, your medicine, and maybe by the time you've established yourselves here, like Richard said, I'm in the mid I'll be in the old age category. I might have you as my doctor then.
But then age is just your vocation.
true.
But you feeling young at heart is your profession. So
That's true. I'll always stay young at heart.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you so much for your time. I know that you are on such a tight schedule because of this holiday, but you've made the time to come here and do this for us.
So much fun.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
It was absolutely fantastic talking to you. I think I can see why they crowned you also Miss Congeniality.
Oh, thank you.
It's really nice talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Afreen. On behalf of my colleagues, Baptist, Hector and Xavier, and all our listeners, thanks a lot for making
time.
Thank
you. Thank you so much for letting me come here.
And we will look forward to your movie. We're going to take you up on
that. And we're going to
premiere. Yes. Also dum bota pura racha moga. Eke ratso mog magir to fog. Eke ratso mog tu soma kanaka. Eke ratso mog tu soma kanaka. I utra mochi kanar sato itatusha. Oro mog mozo asato. Zatator, ya mojan kariz woron, kalzak laigo tusha. Soglo sonsa, bolo sodum kore amoga. Worsam pasar, zaura zunasa agua. Nakaslo pog, sotalo koromo. Azunu sonsar volta, sodum kore amoga. Eke ratso mog tu soma kanaka.
Por San Pasar, Zaura Zunasa, Agua. sar volta, so du corre moga. Azul sol sar volta, so du corre moga. E che razzo mo tu zoma canate.
E cacheia su muga mekela, ani jura mienta kadila. Tomunta makau dalingela, moja mona antogela. Zoso fula zo polo puta, zoso ribaba zo moga tonta. Zoko ni chelo chirva dulta, magi zo moga chazara. Morgan por tus fue le vole distancia.